The rumble of his straight pipes died as he turned the key and shut off his sled. Instead of the roar of his exhaust, he now heard the drilling and hammering of a whole crew of local Amish folk. The plain people knew how to get shit done fast, get it done right, and get it done cheap. Thank fuck they were available. Luckily, they were hungry for the work, since the economy had been slow in the area lately, which meant they'd cut him an extra sweet deal, which he appreciated since with all the construction he was getting done, his money was starting to run low. They also appreciated the extra work Trip had been throwing their way too, because they all had a bunch of mouths to feed and families to raise. Hell, they even had the women and children out here on Trip's farm working too. The kids were scurrying around getting whatever was asked for, nails, tools, water, whatever. The women would show up at lunchtime in black vans, driven by Mennonites, feed their men and boys, socialize for a bit, and then disappear. Most of the younger women eyeballed Trip when he was around. He tipped his head to a couple of them, and they'd run off giggling and whispering. But none of them were for him, since he was one of the English, and if they knew he'd spent 6 years in prison, they'd run away and never come back. Or maybe if they knew, they'd lift their dresses, bend over and let him give it to them good. They probably fantasized about a man like him, one that smelled like exhaust and cigarettes instead of cow pies and horseshit. Maybe some of those women had a fantasy bucket list of doing it with an ex-con with tattoos. Trip snorted. His own imagination was getting the fuck out of control. He needed to get laid. It had been a few months since he'd sank himself balls deep in some hot tail. Not since he came back to Manning Grove permanently and began to work on restoring the farm. Not since that last trip to Shadow Valley, when he went to pick up his father's Harley, now restored and customized by Jag Jameson at Shadow Valley Body Works. But since he'd been back, he'd been keeping on the DL around town, not looking for pussy, not recruiting, not asking around for some of the old BFMC members. Keeping low mostly because he didn't want to raise any flags to Manning Grove PD. Didn't want them trying to put out the fire before Trip could get it burning. Back in the day, the police and the original Blood Fury members constantly clashed, so he needed to handle everything carefully. The club needed to be a force to be reckoned with before the pigs came along trying to squash it. He also needed to show them they could be good neighbors and not terrify the local folk, that when they rolled through town on their sleds wearing their cuts, the women and children wouldn't have a reason to run screaming. One corner of his mouth tipped up as he dismounted and left his sled parked at the house. As he strode down the rutted stone and dirt lane toward the barn, something else that needed repaired on that long list of his, he pulled a 10 out of the inner pocket of his cut. He'd had one of the Amish teens hand roll a shitload of cigarettes from the tobacco they grew. He tucked one between his lips, dug his pop's Harley Zippo lighter from his front pocket, and lit the tip. He paused as he sucked the smoke deep into his lungs, held it, then slowly released it. Now that shit was good. Not like the shit he'd been paying a left nut for at the store. He might have to make a deal with the Amish to buy rolled cigs in bulk, then turn around and sell them. No. Fuck no. No more prison time for him. Selling illegal smokes would catch him a federal charge, and he was done with that shit. He'd already spent too much time playing prison politics and trying not to take a shank between his ribs, or a dick up his ass, or being forced to toss another man's salad. Fuck that shit. He made it through almost 6 years without doing shit like that, and he didn't feel like taking that risk again. He took one more long drag, pinched the end to extinguish it, and tucked it back in his tin. It took a few seconds for his eyes to adjust as he walked through the barn's new front entrance. His step stuttered, and he put his boots in reverse until he was back outside. He looked up and smiled. A new sign hung above the door. No, it was the old sign he'd brought back from the warehouse. The day he rented a box van, took a few of the stronger Amish men with him and loaded everything that wasn't complete shit into that van and brought it back to what he was dubbing the barn. But the wood sign above the door didn't say the barn. No, it read, "For one, for all, for our brothers, we live and die."